God is good. I'm thankful for being alive, the grace of life, the grace of love, the grace of laughter, all of God's graces. Thank you for his grace of healing. And God is still the great physician, the great healer. And I want to try to continue on a little bit. I don't consider it a quaint or a coincidence or funny, but I know how the Holy Spirit works in a church service. I've been in so many services where the song leader don't have a clue what is going to be preached. Sunday school teacher don't have a clue what's going to be preached. The preacher preaching the morning service don't have a clue what's going to the Sunday school teacher is going to teach. But God seems to work it all together. And Brother Phil, what happened to your chart? Do you erase it or just turn it around? Okay, well, all right. I'm sure it's implanted in the minds and hearts of every one in here that heard that message, talking about living for God, being filled with the Spirit of God. You say, well, now do Baptists believe that you can be filled? Yeah, we believe that. Whatever your cup is filled with, though, it may be half spirit and half world. Or it may be 80% world and 20% spirit. That cup can only hold so much, as Brother Phil described there. The Bible says, be not drunken with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to get your buzz from the Holy Ghost of God and not from that worldly stuff, from drugs and drinks and so forth. That's the correlation there. But what I want to talk about is our lives. Phil talked this morning about walking the walk, talking the talk. And talked about being filled with joy. Philippians, a book on joy. Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. You know, some are filled with joy in the Holy Ghost, with the joy of the Spirit. Others are just filled with enjoy. Whatever looks good, feels good, tastes good, sounds good, or looks good, that's the only thing we want to mess with. That's being filled with enjoy instead of being filled with joy. But I tell you, you can be filled with enjoy through the Holy Ghost of God if you're ready this morning. And I haven't started my message yet. I want to talk about John the Baptist this morning. John the Baptist was a voice. Your life this morning is a voice. Wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do, every action that you take is a voice for something. A voice for good or a voice for evil. A voice for something spiritual or a voice that promotes something carnal. In John chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me, John 1 chapter 6, the Bible says this. Said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men, notice it didn't say a few elect, it says that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light, of course, is Jesus Christ. It says in verse 9, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John the Baptist, called from the womb. He said that he was a voice, called from the womb. 1 Corinthians 14:10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices. He was a voice, but, and the Bible says there are many different kinds of voices. What is your voice saying to the world today? What is your voice indicating to the lost world? Is your walk and your talk something that leads men to trust Jesus Christ, to come to Christ? Rejoiced. He rejoiced at his calling from the womb. There it says in Luke 1:44, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe, that's John the Baptist, leapt in the womb for joy. Called from the womb to prepare the way of the Lord. Matthew 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice that word repent. You don't hear much about repentance anymore. John the Baptist preached repentance. A voice crying one in the wilderness said, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He was a voice. Voice in the wilderness preaching repentance. The Apostle Paul went forth preaching repentance. Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of different opinions in the church about what repentance is. Dr. Harold Seiler said, I don't care what kind of repentance you have. If it's the kind that brings you to Calvary, it's the right kind. Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. About John the Baptist, the Bible said, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Man, that's a first hippie in the New Testament was John the Baptist. Man, I've been around that crowd, vegetarians, locust and wild honey. Man, he must have been a sight to see. Needed a haircut. Wow. And that translates to this, for the cause of Christ is what it translates to. For the cause of Christ, John the Baptist eliminated everything from his life that could be a stumbling block or an offense to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he didn't eat meat, because it might offend some of the Jews. That's why he didn't drink wine. Hey, we live our lives many times. If you're right with God, you'll avoid some of those things that you think you have liberty about. You do it for the cause of Christ. My. The cause of Christ. He eliminated meat from his diet. He eliminated wine. He did not want the message to be rejected because of the messenger. And that happens. Paul would later write that he became all things to all people. That don't mean that he went in the bar and had a beer with a fellow to win him to the Lord. It meant that he eliminated anything that would be an offense or a stumbling block from his walk. My. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free, Paul said, for though I be free from all men, and yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Watch it. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Are you catching on to that? John the Baptist was a voice. The Apostle Paul was a voice. You are a voice, and I am a voice. Every blood-bought, born-again Christian in the world today is a voice. 1 Corinthians 14:10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. How you walk, how you talk, where you go, who you run. It's all speaking volumes to the world around you. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, my life, your very life, is a voice. Your voice, your walk is a voice. Wherever you go, wherever you you can choose to have dinner at the reservation today, or you can go to Hooters and have dinner, and you're both speaking volumes by those acts. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Didn't say that. Your talk, the Bible says, to speak as the oracles of God. It's a voice, your character, how you deal with people is a voice. It's speaking to the world around you. Your appearance, how you dress. You can dress like a Christian, or you can dress like a hooker on Vine Street. Believe me, how you dress speaks volumes. Well, I think I've got liberty. Yeah, you do. but you're a voice. And many times we do those things that we'll not do those things that we have liberty to do for the cause of Christ. All are either a voice commending Christ or a voice in opposition to the cause of Christ. Where you go is your voice. What you watch on TV is a voice. Sow to the spirit, reap spiritual things. Sow to the flesh, and you'll reap carnal things. What you listen to, your musical appetites, says a lot. Says a lot. Who you run with, who you decide to run with. What was it, Alonzo and Oscar had that song, "We don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't run with them that do." It speaks volumes. You know what a drug addict will tell you when they get clean? They say the biggest problem, the greatest stumbling block to their recovery and their staying clean is going back to the same crowd that got them into addiction before. Who you run with speaks volumes. Man, I've been in court with some folks, and they'll bring all their friends. And on the front row there, trying to impress the judge, they bring about every drug dealer in the county sitting right there. "Well, I brought my crew with me." Guess what? I tell those folks when they go to court, I tell those ladies, you put on a dress and you dress up like you're a businesswoman in downtown Cincinnati at the Fifth Third Bank, and you march in there like a conservative woman, and you leave your low-down hoodlum friends, as they used to call them, at the house. Because you speak volumes by who you run with, how you look. I've told people, "I'm going to go out and get a job." "Oh, can't find a job." I said, "Well, you go in, you dress conservative, you dress real nice, and you go in and you tell them this. You tell them, 'I'll be there every day, I'll show up for work every day, and I won't steal from you.' You tell a business that, guess what? They'll probably hire you." I'm getting off a little bit here. But to your appearance, your musical appetite, where you go, what you watch on TV, what you listen to, who you run with or who you run from. "Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing." How about who you vote for? Yeah, that's a voice. You vote for the crowd that murders 60 million babies and wants to promote sodomy. Well, that's not God's crowd, folks. That's not what God stands for. Vote for it if you want to. You have liberty to do that, but your voice speaks volumes of how close you are to God. There's godly issues, godly platforms. Not too many. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul said, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." You know, when John the Baptist finally saw the Lord in the flesh, he cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist was the advance team for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when the president comes to town, whoever it is, they send an advance team out in front of him. I remember one time when I worked in the city of Miami Police Department, I worked in the intelligence unit. It was called SIU, called the Strategic Information Unit. We were the intelligence arms of the Miami Police Department. President Nixon was coming to town in those days. He had an international fishery summit that he was attending in Miami, and that advanced team of Secret Service men showed up, and we went through a whole plan of how we were going to guard the president, what we were going to do to protect the president of the United States. I remember one time, Batesville, Indiana, the Hillenbrand Foundation had... What was the Prime Minister of Great Britain, former Prime Minister Harold Hope, came to Batesville, Indiana, and spoke for the Hillenbrand Foundation out at the high school. Now, at the same time, Harold Wilson, Prime Minister Harold Wilson, at the same time that he was here that week, the Falkland Islands crisis broke out where Britain had invaded Argentina, or the Falkland Islands, rather, to take that territory back. So I was called to see if I could help set up security. I worked for the sheriff. If I could set up security for Harold Wilson because of the Falkland Islands. So we put together a team. We were the advanced team. We went to the Sherman House and the hotels there in Batesville, checked the guest log if there were any reservations for anyone with a Hispanic surname. Just little things like that to see who we needed to keep an eye on. I called the State Department and they said, "We've lost track of him. So glad that you called." But there's an advanced team. John the Baptist was an advanced team, a forerunner of Jesus Christ. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was a forerunner. My, my, my. He was on a mission. The religious crowd didn't get it. They couldn't figure him out at all. In fact, the Pharisees, they said they didn't know who he was or where he came from, but they sure hearing a lot about him. In John 1:19, it says, "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou?" They wanted to know who he was. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" Talking about that prophet likened to Moses that all the Jews had heard about for ages and ages. And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am a voice. Cry of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Religious crowd didn't get it. "Hey, who are you? Are you the Christ?" "Nope, not him." "How about Elias?" "Nope, wrong again." "One of the prophets?" "Nope." Said, "Who in the world are you then?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." "Who are you?" What's that? CSI? "Who are you?" A crime scene. They go in and they detect try to identify who committed the crime. "Who are you?" What they were? John the Baptist. What? They're looking at the evidence, trying to figure out who he was. What am I saying? I've said that to say this. What does the evidence say about your life? What is your voice to the world? Not only to your spouse, to your family, but to the world. What is your voice speaking today? Well, there's a story that your life is telling. And it speaks volumes. "Well, I never miss a Bengals game, or I don't think I ever missed an opening day for the Reds, and I know that I never missed one of my kids' baseball games." Yeah, but you sure missed a lot of church. A lot of revivals. "Now, I noticed that you made all the meals, and the singing, man, missed a lot of opportunities to witness." I'm not being mean this morning. Don't mean to be mean. Missed a lot of opportunities for the cause of Christ. The Bible said that God sent John for a witness. John bear witness to the light, Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's coming. "He that cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me. Said the latchet of his shoes, I'm not worthy to unlatch." He's coming, folks. He's coming. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, he's there nailing those nails in that ark. "It's going to rain, folks. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. He's coming. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. He's coming back." when John was baptizing in Jordan, he said the reason that he was baptizing was to manifest Christ to Israel. My, my, my. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. Everything you do in life is a manifestation of something or someone, a witness of something, a voice for something or someone. Some cry out to save the whales and at the same time say that it's okay to kill the babies. Duh. Hug a tree but never once hug their kids. The prophet Ezekiel said, or James, first in James 3:10, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Don't let that be you. I pray that if that's not me. We need to be serious about our service. We've got to desire the spiritual things of God. Let our lives be a witness. You're a voice. You're a witness. There's a girl in our reformers program. She's in the back. We had to go back to prison. She gets out in December, I think. And she gave a testimony one night. Said she was a telephone mom. Said all her love was over the telephone while she'd be out carousing around. She'd call, baby, I love you. I love you, honey. I'll be home soon, honey. I love you. I love you. I love you. Not spending an ounce of time with that child. Said, I'm a telephone mama. Show my love over the telephone. That's a sad state to be in. You and I are to manifest Christ to a lost and dying world. As Christians, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What our lives says to a lost world can really actually be the difference between heaven and hell for that person. You need to take that seriously. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you ready always to give an answer of every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation, that's your walk, your talk, that's who you are. Fellow says, well, who are you? Said, well, I'm a plumber. I've been a plumber 30 years. No, that's not who you are. That's what you do. Who are you? That's kind of cool. All right. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. John the Baptist said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. An old preacher from Skipperville, Alabama, by the name of Bob Jones Sr. once said, what you would be for God, you are now becoming. Every one here today is a voice to the world. Even a child is known by his doings. You're a voice. What are you saying? What are you saying to those around you? You make those decisions, how you're going to spend your time, what you're going to spend your money on. What are you saying? Your life is a witness. What is your witness? Your life is a voice. What is your voice saying to the world? John 1:7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Are you bearing witness of the light, Jesus Christ, this morning, that all men through him might believe? Why do you walk that walk and talk that talk? That all men through him might believe. These things I do for the gospel's sake. Of that book of John, it said, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. What are you saying to the world this morning? If you don't understand that, maybe you need to come to the cross for salvation. I'm done this morning. Everyone stand up. I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. What are you saying? Every place that your feet trod, you're saying something. Whatever you read, you're speaking. Whatever you watch, you're speaking. Whatever you listen to, you're saying something. Let your mouth so speak as the oracles of God. That's a lot to chew on, a lot to think about today. Brother Phil taught about getting that cup full. How do you get it full? By doing what Paul did and what John the Baptist did. You eliminate those things in your life that would be a stumbling block or an offense to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we sing, Jeremiah.
Number 308.
Number 308.